Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the BPCL 3Q FY16 results conference call hosted by IL&FS Broking Services Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan of IL&FS Broking Services Private Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bikram. Good afternoon, everyone. A pleasure to welcome all the participants and the management of BPCL led by Mr. Rajamani and Deepesh. I'll request Mr. Rajamani to give me his initial comments and then we can move over to Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thanks. Good afternoon, one and all. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and we believe that the expectation contained in these statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. These forward-looking statements represent only the current expectations and beliefs and company provides no assurance that such expectations will prove correct. Having said that, let me just give some highlights of our financial results. We are happy to state that we ended this quarter October-December 2015 with profit after tax of 1,489 crores as compared to 551 crores of the same quarter previous year. For the 9 months, we had a cumulative profit after tax of 4,883 crores as compared to 2,232 crores during the 9 months of preceding previous year. With respect to gross under-recoveries, since the SKO is the only left product in the under-recovery basket, we had a gross under-recovery of around 448 crores during the period October-December 15, out of which 46 crores is not compensated. Around 401 crores had been declared as a compensation by Government of India towards the under-recoveries of SKO PDS. The similar numbers for the 9 months cumulative, the gross under-recovery number on gross under-recovery on sales of PDS SKU is 1,562 and the net under-recovery remains same which is there in Q3. Earlier quarter 1 and quarter 2 we got full compensation actually. With respect to our physical performance, we would like to state that our throughput were more or less in line with last year's third quarter. This quarter the total throughput is 5.88 million tonne which was there 5.82 million tonne in October-December 2014. For the 9 months, the throughput is 17.90 million tonne as compared to 17.25 million tonne during April-December 2014. With respect to GRM, we ended this quarter with $7.67 per barrel for both the refineries together as compared to $1.54 per barrel during October-December 2014. With respect to 9 months number, GRM stand out to $6.69 per barrel as compared to $2.08 per barrel during April-December 2014. In the sales per se, the sales volume amounted to 9.72 million ton inclusive of export sales during October-December 2015 as compared to 9.25 million tons during October-December 2014. It was majorly driven by growth was majorly driven by MS in retail segment and ATF and LPG. MS grew by 12.4%, whereas ATF and LPG grew respectively 7.3% and 6.1%. This is all about from our side regarding financial highlights. We would be open to question answer, please. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. At this time, if you wish to ask any question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any question at this time, please press star followed by 1. We have our first question from the line of Probal Sen from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. One, in terms of the GRMs, they would have been impacted by, inventory losses, I would presume, because of the decline in crude. Is it possible to quantify the same at all in terms of, what clean GRMs could have been without the inventory impact?
No, the inventory losses on a consistent basis, whatever we show in the refinery is part of the GRM. We don't have it separately. What is reflected is the inventory losses on the finished products.
Right. Sir, this time around we've actually changed our inventory policy as well.
Yeah.
Just wanted to understand the reason or rationale for the same.
Yeah, as has been explained in the advertisement itself, we have given the rationale. Basically, with the prices having come down significantly, so be in line with the price movements, we have just changed it. And as far as I understand, this is what all the refineries are also doing it. So it's just a matter of being in line with how the prices have moved. And that's why we have given the same disclosure in the advertisement also.
Right. So last question, with regard to Bina, any sense we can get of the profitability for this quarter and the 9 month period?
Yeah, the October, December, they ended with a profit after tax of 100 crores. And the cumulative number for the 9 months is 295 crores. This is profit after tax.
295 crores is for the 9 month period.
100 crores for this quarter.
Okay, sir, any detail we can get of the GRMs that Bina is doing?
October, December was $12.4 per barrel. And, year to date is
$12.7 a barrel. Okay, sir, I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Sen. We have a next question from the line of Sumit Rohra from Emerging Market Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, a very good evening. Firstly, many congratulations on a very good set of results, sir. Sir, my main question was basically, you know, to do with GRMs. So currently, you know, as we speak, what are GRMs now, you know, and what's actually happening, sir? Because, you know, I've been reading that GRMs have actually come off a bit, you know, something to do with China. So can you just please explain, you know, currently how are GRMs and what is your outlook on the same, sir?
Indian refineries, as you are aware, track the Singapore cracks. So the Singapore cracks for some time were pretty strong. Now they have come off a little bit. So I would imagine that the Indian refineries would be more or less in line with whatever the Singapore cracks are currently. As far as I know, it's about $6.57 per barrel. But again, this is something which is number is going on changing. The MS cracks have come down significantly. Diesel is maybe reasonably holding off. But these are factors which, you know, one can't predict at this point in time. So therefore, if you are asking me what is the guidance, etc., we normally don't give any such guidance. So I would like to refrain from doing so. So ultimately, the direction of the Singapore cracks will determine the GRMs for the... Obviously, the other factor would be the inventory price movements. So to that extent, there could be some impact.
Sure. So and secondly, can you also please share your thoughts on, you know, on the volume growth, which, I mean, we are seeing in petrol, diesel. So can you please share some outlook on that?
Petrol has been showing some steady double-digit growth for the last so many months, and it is still growing at around 10-12%, so that is growing. Diesel is showing some signs of growth. It has been, over the last couple of months, has been fairly decent as compared to what it was a few months back. But we'll have to just wait and watch whether diesel sustains and, you know, increases the pace of growth. So if that happens, then that should reflect in the overall demand growth. Petrol, as I said, is consistent. We expect that to remain at these levels going forward. But diesel is something which we'll have to wait and see.
Sure, sir. And lastly, I mean, I know, you know, you refrain from commenting, but any thoughts on marketing margins, sir?
Marketing margins currently are at the same, you know, 1.5 to for diesel and about 1.75, 1.8 per liter for MS. Yeah, this is something which has been there for some time. MS has slightly picked up, but again, if you are referring to the last couple of fortnights and all that, Yes, it is slightly, there is an expansion, no doubt about it, but you'll also have to factor in the inventory losses which have been there in the refining side. So I'll like to wait and watch for some more time. As of now, the average margins remain at what they were, 1.5 and 1.8 for HSD and MS respectively.
Sure, sir. Thank you. I'll come back, sir. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rora. We have a next question from the line of Amit Shah from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Just a couple of questions. One on the, if you can just give us a quick update on the Kochi status as to are we on track for completion and by what date, and the overall capex guidance. And then second, I have a question on the volume, which I'll come back.
Okay, as far as Kochi is concerned, the project is on track for a scheduled commissioning in May 2016. So that is, at this point in time, we have completed around, the physical progress, if one were to look at it, is about 90%. So that is something which we expect to be completed on schedule in May 2016. And as far as the expenditure till date, about 10,000 crores has been spent on the project till date, and the commitments have been made for the almost the entire balance amount also. So the mechanical completion and thereafter the commissioning activities, etc., still are slated to commence in May 2016. So that is as far as the physical progress of the Kochi project is concerned. So at this point in time, we expect to meet our targeted date. So that is as far as the IREP is concerned. What was your second question?
The total capex.
Okay, the total capex for the year, we should be spending somewhere around 10,000 to 10,500 crores. If you want to know what we have done up to April to December, we have spent around for entire expenditure is about 8,100. We expect to close the year with around 10,500 crores.
And for next year, for FY17?
FY17 also should be around that same 10,500 crores, because an important thing which you have to take into account is while there will be some portion of the IREP expenditure which will be there in next year also, and the other projects will also kick in. So around, we expect the capex run rate to remain more or less the same as this year.
Okay, and just one last question, and probably this would be unlikely for you to answer, we have seen very consistent excise hikes, right, from the government. So are you at all worried that if oil prices move up from here on, you actually could see a potential impact on demand if excise is not cut then? Because we already priced a lot higher than what the underlying crude prices suggest, right, from a pump perspective. So just wanted to get some sense on if there's anything that you can comment on this.
You have partially answered your own question. I mean, it's not right for me to comment on the government reason, but having said that, yes, the government has increased excise. Tomorrow, if there was any sharp increase in prices, one can expect even the government to sort of look at moderating the impact by recalibrating the excise duty. So that's something one can look forward to. But having said all this, this is finally, excise is in the realm of the government to decide. Very difficult for me to make any guesses as to what would be the government's plans going forward.
So just one last question. Have the margins on the non-core products been actually very healthy this quarter as compared to historical levels?
I don't think we should be looking at any quarter in isolation. It's actually, it's a very competitive business. Margins obviously depend upon various factors, including demand, supply, alternate products, from where they are sourced. It's a freely competitive business, so I don't think I would like to comment on anything in isolation for a single quarter.
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. We have a next question from the line of Mr. Dhaval Joshi from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
So just wanted to know, out of your total loan for Bina Refinery, how much as of now you have repaid?
Sorry, for Bina?
Yeah, Bina Refinery.
Just one moment. See, I can, in terms of
repayment.
In terms of repayment,
yep.
See, I don't have exactly how much they have repaid or anything like that, but all that I can say is that, you know, the overall borrowings would be, I mean, as compared to what they, where they were in March, it's come down slightly, but how much has been repaid and how much any new, I don't have, but if there is something like this, if you want to know, we'll have to get it from Bina. I don't have a ready number in terms of repayment. That's a process which is continuously on, but I don't have that exact breakup, how much has been paid during the year.
No issue, sir. Sir, second question is that so far as an industry, how much is the bulk diesel at this point in time, bulk diesel sales? And what is the BPCL share?
Bulk diesel sales. You mean the direct market?
Yeah, to industries and to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. See, the industry, if you were to look at bulk diesel,
uh-huh.
It would be around...
just a minute.
Yeah, 8,000. No, bulk diesel,
it's around 12-13%.
No, 12-13 million. 12-13 million is volume you want,
you
right?
You want volume, yes. Percentage?
Percentage, volume, whatever you have, I mean, you can give.
Around 8 million ton is the total volume of industry.
Okay.
During the period of 9 months.
This is only 9 months, right? April, December.
No issue. And what is the BPCL share of it?
1 million ton.
Sorry, come again?
1 million ton.
1 million ton. Okay. And sir, can you give us some light on how much, as you have said that 1.5 rupees per liter you earn on you know, marketing margin on diesel. So what is the bulk you know, diesel margin you earn, rough if you can give it to us?
Bulk diesel, I don't have a separate number because that is again, as we were speaking about, it's a competitive, this one, it will vary from customer to customer. So it's very difficult to give a number on bulk diesel portion.
Okay, so in I can you know, or you can you know give us the how much discount you offer to you know your bulk diesel on your bulk diesel sales basically.
As I said, no, it's this is a business which will be a lot of this one factors which will go in determine. So again, giving whether margin or whether discount as a individual number will be very difficult.
No issue, sir. Sir, last, you know, Bina OPEX and NRL performance for the quarter and 9 months.
NRL, the GRM for the quarter was around $11 per barrel.
Okay.
And the April-December would be around, you know, just under $10. I'm saying 9 months. What I said first was for the quarter.
Okay.
It is... just under $10 for the 9 months. This is as far as NRL is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you want what? Bina, the...
NRL profit and Bina OPEX, NRL OPEX.
The NRL closed the quarter with a profit after tax of around 418 crores.
Okay. And OPEX for both the Bina and NRL?
OPEX for Numaligarh remains around $2 to $2.5. For Bina, just a minute.
Yeah.
It's again around Bina. It remains around $5 to $5.3.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah. So it's a 9 month or this for the quarter?
For the quarter.
Okay,
the thing with Bina,
mm-hmm.
The reason is In Bina, this operating cost is having three components. Okay, one is the product placement cost,
mm-hmm.
second is the normal refining operating cost,
mm-hmm.
and third is the coal, which they are using as a fuel.
Mm-hmm.
The normal operating cost ranges around $2 to $2.2 per barrel,
mm-hmm.
and for product placement cost around again 1.2 to 1.3, and remaining is the coal expenditure.
Okay, understood, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Joshi. Participants are requested to restrict their questions to two per participant. We have a next question from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. Sir, can you give us a sense of how is the OPEX trending at BPCL's main refineries and what kind of reduction where we have seen given the way LNG prices have fallen?
In BPC, the two refineries in Kochi and Mumbai, the OPEX is somewhere around $1.5 to $1.6 per barrel. So yes, with the lower cost of gas, yes, there should be some impact that we'll have to just see. I'm talking about these numbers for the 9 months period where it was around these levels. But if the LNG prices, as they have will come down significantly, and once Kochi, at the moment Kochi doesn't use much of LNG, going forward, they have some plans, so maybe there will be some impact on the OPEX curve.
Sure, sir. Just to reconfirm, you mentioned $1.1, right? I mean, I just thought maybe I didn't hear it properly.
$1.6.
Okay. So second question is, sir, regarding implied market shares in the diesel and MS market in India. Sir, how have we seen market shares evolve? Because if we just take BPCL's volume and the overall industry volume, that would suggest that there has been some 150 basis point loss of market share. Would that be correct, or how has market share trended for the company?
Market share, yes, there has been some impact. As we had said in the first quarter, we had some issues around availability of product because one or two refineries had unplanned shutdown. So while that was something which happened in the first quarter, and especially in the northern region, so that is a sort of one-off thing which we are trying to get it back. As far as if I have understood your question first, the first part of your question, which is about the overall market, this one, did you mean the private and public, or are you saying only, you're not talking about private in any case?
So we are just talking, if I look at the overall PPAC data in terms of the diesel and MS volume growth versus BPCL's volume growth, that would suggest that it's slightly lagging that. So, I mean, should we going forward see it track overall industry growth, or this differential should sustain?
No, as I said, no, there was an issue in terms of, there was a supply issue somewhere in the first quarter, mainly affecting the northern and the eastern region, and since then it has been slowly been coming back. Yes, there was an adverse impact in the first quarter.
Sure, sir. And lastly, sir, you mentioned Kochi is on track for commissioning. So how much time would we normally take to ramp it up, and by when can it start flowing through the P&L?
Kochi commissioning starts in May, right? And then the units have to individually have to come on stream, and it will take some time. So I would imagine that it will be somewhere in the later part of the second half that we should be seeing the full stabilized level of operations to start.
So later part of the financial year, right? I mean,
part of the second half, I said. See, this is happening in the first quarter, and then
okay,
it will take some months, so maybe somewhere in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter is sometime when you can see the full impact of the expansion project.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Parekh. We have a next question from the line of Sabri Hazarika from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have two questions. The first one is on the DBT subsidy for Q3. What was the amount? And secondly, how much? How are you accounting for the uncompensated cost? Is it in the operating expense right now or somewhere else?
As far as the DBTL is concerned, to answer your first question, the compensation is coming on a monthly basis. as we speak, what is left is only the December amount is to be received from the government, and that's a process which happens in the normal course, and we get it. Up to November, whatever is the DBTL under the scheme, the monies have to be received, the oil companies have got it. And insofar as the uncompensated cost, that's part of the P&L.
So it's in the other operating, other expenditure part of that?
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to know the amount of DBT subsidy for BPCL for Q3. What was the loss, the subsidy for Q3?
Or the amount, or it's just the claim amount, right?
Yeah, the claim amount I'm talking about.
Around 850 crores.
Around 850 crores.
For the quarter.
For the quarter.
Okay, sir. And sir, just one small question. What was the GRM for Mumbai Refinery and Kochi Refinery individually in quarter three?
I'll give you that. Just a
minute. For Mumbai, it's $8.
Okay.
$7.2.
8 and 7.2.
For the quarter.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Abhishek Agarwal from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Yeah.
Could you give us some idea on the long-term capex plans that you have? More in terms of what you will have to invest or for upgradation to Euro 6, etc.? And whether we can truly meet the timelines which have been set by the government, they seem rather stiff.
Yes. In terms of the capex plans, a couple of things. One is, of course, Kochi IREP, once it gets done, we have already announced our the propylene-based petrochemicals projects, so that should, we have just awarded the, got the licenses in on board, so that should start. Insofar as the BS6 is concerned, yes, the timelines are pretty strict, stringent, but I guess if all the stakeholders are on board, we should be seeing that. In terms of what it will take, our expenditure for BPCL and refineries are concerned, we should be having a requirement of around another 4,000 crores, because what is important is the IREP project will take care of some portion of the requirement. So what we will be requiring for BS6 alone should be around 4,000 crores in both the refineries put together. As far as Bina and all is concerned, should not be having much because it's a fairly new refinery. So BS6, given the timelines which is there, we should be in a position to make it happen with about 4,000 crores of investment.
Sure, sir. Any idea on NRL, how much that will require in terms of investment, not just for Euro 6, but also the potential expansion which was being talked about?
See, we need to look at this separately. The potential expansion that is being talked about is a different thing altogether, because that is talking about an expansion which will be accompanied by a whole lot of infrastructural facilities which will be needed to bring the crude in place. So we are talking about a significantly large capex, and the economics will have to be worked out, keeping in mind a whole lot of other factors like what sort of government support will be there. So that is something which will be worked out and before a final call is taken. As far as BS6 is concerned, if one were to look at it in isolation, maybe they will need about 500 crores for petrol and diesel to make it happen, 500 crores each. So about 1,000 crores they may need for BS6.
Got it, sir. And could you give us a bit of an update on what's happening on BPRL in terms of where we are on the FID plans, and what is the investment that we envisage over the next 2 years, given that there's limited clarity on oil?
Yeah, BPRL at this point in time, the work is towards concluding that FID. So, and parallelly, they are also working on, the ECA funding part. Some initial work has started. So they are working with the potential lenders to put in place that mechanism. Parallelly, they are also working with the likely buyers to convert the HOAs which they have to some like final sales agreements. So that activity is on. Parallelly, they are also working with the government for fine-tuning the last bit of whatever agreements, etc., have to be in place. So the FID should be happening during the course of this year. And while that happens, some activity on the ground is also happening, what can be done parallelly. But other than that, at this point in time, there is no extra expenditure which is happening pending clarity on the FID. Once the FID happens, then there will be clarity in terms of what will be the capital cost that will be required, because what was being estimated earlier was for two trains of 5 million tons. Now it is two trains of 6 million tons. And with given the overall environment, some expectations around the capital cost being also coming down, what it will be and to what extent it will have an impact on the overall capex, we'll have to just wait for some more, couple of months more.
Sure, sir. Great. I'll come back in the queue if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for your time, sir. Firstly, is there any interest that we are capitalizing relating to Kochi expansion?
As part of the, see, to the extent of any borrowings which we have taken, and we did a bond issuance in April, which predominantly went for funding the CapEx project, that interest during the project stage is capitalized as part of the accounting policy on a consistent basis. Yes. So there will be some amount of interest which will be capitalized. Sorry?
Hello.
Yeah.
Out of the 16,000 crores of debt, how much is pertaining to Kochi, sir?
See, it is not about any individual, 16,000 crores. Generally borrow for a set of projects. In this case, when we borrowed that 500 million in April, that was meant for capital projects, one of which was Kochi. So it is not that it was exclusively for Kochi. Then in that case, I can be using that money only for a single project. Generally, we borrow for a couple of major projects which are underway. So, but having said that, this 3,000 crores or that 500 million which we had borrowed was predominantly used in the Kochi expansion.
Okay. So there is actually very less debt which pertains to interest that is being capitalized out of the total 16,000 crores.
Yeah, if you are asking like that, yeah, and then the answer is yes. Probably, what would be getting capitalized will be this 500 million and plus probably maybe another 500 or 1,000 crores which you would have borrowed from another. Other than that, there will not be anything which will be getting capitalized.
Got it, sir. Sir, and could you just confirm the what is the capex on the petchem plant that you're working and when is it likely to come on stream?
The petchem, the capex is around 4,800 crores. That is the cost of the project. Okay. And the commissioning which you are talking about, that is likely to, just 1 minute, I'll give you the, see, the capex cost should be somewhere around 4,600, I stand corrected, I said 4,800. 4,600 and we should be completing it by around May 2018.
Okay. And my last question, sir, on the mega refinery which we are talking about in Maharashtra, any thoughts on that? What is the size, capex, and how likely is it to really come through?
No, I think we'll have to wait for some time. This is an announcement that has been made by the government. We'll see how it shapes up because we are at a very, very preliminary stage. So let's see for some time before any more details come out, then we can be in a position to share it with you.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kumar. We have a next question from the line of Vidyadhar Dinde from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Most of my questions have been answered. Just some clarity on Numaligarh. The profit you mentioned, I probably was for 9 months. What's the number for third quarter?
Yeah, I mentioned for third quarter with the other.
So what's the 9 month number?
9 months will be 928 crores profit after tax.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Nilesh Kuge from MK Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Mr. Nilesh. Yeah, sir, please go ahead.
Sir, all my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the follow-on question from the line of Probal Sen from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity again, sir. Just a couple of questions. You mentioned about the higher LNG that the Kochi refinery can consume over the coming months. Can I get a sense of how much total gas is being consumed today and how much will be post the expansion in the form of LNG?
See, today they are doing about 0.1 MMSCMD.
Right.
That's likely to go up once the expansion is in place and the units are stabilized. So that exact number, I don't have it, but it is expected to increase. But obviously, all this will also depend on the prices at that point in time. At this point in time, they are consuming 0.1 MMSCMD.
So what I was trying to get at, sir, for the full refinery in, after expansion, what would be the gas requirement per se?
I don't maybe it should be around 2 MMSCMD.
Last question, sir. I don't know if you can share this. Can we get a sense in terms of our overall sourcing portfolio, how much we are currently getting from the Middle East and how much from other destinations?
Which one? Crude?
Yeah.
See, crude, as far as the BPCL group is concerned, bulk of the crude is on term contracts with most of the big Middle East suppliers, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the UAE and all that, but there is quite a bit of crude also coming in from Nigeria, and there are some smaller quantums coming in from Malaysia, Brunei and all that. So this is broadly
bulk is essentially from the OPEC countries including Nigeria. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yeah. Bulk of the term contracts is with Saudi Arabia, Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates.
Saudi, Kuwait, United. Alright sir, that is all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sen. We have a next question from the line of Khadija Mantri from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
My question is regarding the ethanol blending program. So with the decline in oil prices, it may not be commercially viable for OMCs to buy ethanol at a price of around 48 per liter. So what are your thoughts on the same? And do you think that this price is subject to revision or it can be revised for the next season? So then, you know, it is just a matter of only 1 year for OMCs.
Madam, to be honest, I don't have much because this is something which the marketing guys are looking at it. I'm not sure what is the thinking there. And obviously, if it is not making sense, it will be something definitely they will like to look at it. Ethanol, yes, but we'll also have to get the quantities that we want. So it's something which I think I'll have to wait and get more details.
Okay, so sir, does the supply is still an issue even after the price revision?
I think so. That's what my understanding is because we there is still some gap in the availability.
Okay, sir. And is it possible for the OMCs to pass on the cost?
Both now, I mean, the products are now deregulated as far as pricing is concerned.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Mohit Agarwal from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to know what is the exact amount of receivable from government as of end 3Q?
As of December, you're saying, right? No? See, roughly around 3,500 crores. Yeah, this will obviously include the permanent advance on account of the DVTL. So around 3,500 crores is what we have to receive from the government as of December 31st.
Okay. So this includes the initial amount that you advanced and government did not refund those amounts?
Yes. That is there.
Okay. And sir, what was the excise duty benefit in NRL in 3Q?
NRL. Actually,
details are not available. Okay, but more or less, you know, you can keep it in line with Q2. Okay, I think which we had declared in our last phone call also around $12 to $13, if I'm not wrong. This quarter details are not available, sir, as of now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Harshad Borawake from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. One was, you know, how many retail outlets do you plan to open up in next 2 to 3 years? And if you can break it into, you know, percentage share in urban, highways and rural. And second was, how is the experience, you know, in the differential pricing at the retail outlets in terms of execution, and if you can share the contribution to the profits. Thank you.
Harshad, as far as the retail outlet commissioning is concerned, last year we had done just under 700 outlets. So this time also somewhere around 600 to 650 outlets is what is likely to be added. I don't have readily the breakup over different segments that you spoke about, but having said that, there is a lot of focus now on the rural markets, because that is that's one place where a lot of growth is being seen. So I guess that will be an area of focus. So as far as commissioning goes, it's about 600 outlets is what is likely to be commissioned this year. And I would imagine the run rate would remain more or less on these lines, at least over the next 1 or 2 years. And then we will see. Because parallelly, apart from commissioning of outlets, what is also happening is the existing outlets get upgraded depending on how the volumes are growing. And so that is as far as the outlets are concerned. As far as the differential pricing is concerned, it's something which is, it's evolving, it's early days, so I think we'll have to just wait and see. And it is not something which is, static at any point in time. It is subject to review, and wherever required changes keep happening. So I think we'll need to give it some time.
Okay, and lastly, what is the contribution of non-fuel revenues currently? And do you expect it to, you know, increase meaningfully in next 1, 2, 3 years?
Yeah, Arshad, at this point in time, in terms of non-fuel revenue as a percentage of the overall thing, it may not be very significant or material. So it's something which we are doing and have been doing for the last several years, more of an added convenience to the customers and giving more choice. But yes, we are looking at non-fuel opportunities which are there. We are working on a few of those opportunities. Maybe in the next couple of months, we should be seeing some pilots on the ground.
Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Rohit Ahuja from Religare Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just wanted some clarification on Bina. I think you mentioned about $5.3 per barrel operating cost divided into three parts. So could you please repeat that? I couldn't get that properly.
Rohit, one moment. We'll give you the details.
Normal operating cost is $2 to $2.2.
Yeah.
$1.2 to $1.3 is the product placement cost.
Okay.
Remaining is the coal which they use as their fuel.
Right. So, is there a chance that this could change going forward or come down? I mean, in terms of sales, are you allowed to pass through this arrangement?
Refineries are deregulated already since long period of time, and products are sold by them at the RTPs, which are the industry agreed pricing principles. So there is nothing like they cannot be passed on and all. At the same time, this cost will remain for at least near future. There is a plan for the gasification of BORL. Okay, gas will be coal will be replaced by gas, but that is not in the near term. We need to wait for that.
Right. So you're saying the power cost component, which is roughly about, I would say, $2.5 per barrel.
Power cost is I said around 5 to 5.5. Out of that, if you remove around 3.5 or so, around $2.
Around $2 can come down significantly in future.
To what extent and all, we need to wait.
And what are the earnings for Bina for 9 months? I just
195 crores.
Profit after tax.
75 crores.
295.
So secondly, on the expansion plans, I think you were looking to expand Bina refinery capacity. Any updates on that? And planning any IPOs or fundraising for this?
See, Bina is currently in the process of doing that low-cost debottlenecking, which it from 6 to 7.8. So initial work has started, clearances are in place. I would imagine that in the next coming financial year, the expenditure will start. So that's something which will add about 30% to the existing capacity. And after that, we will see what is to be done. There are, there will be some plans to look at the taking the capacity or increasing the capacity further. That will be after this is done. That is something which is there. Secondly, as far as IPO and all, at this point in time, there is nothing on the table. If there is some, we will definitely share it with you.
Right. So lastly, on the DBT or kerosene, I believe there were some pilot studies and now the government is evaluating, implementing it. Could you share how prepared are OMCs for that and what sort of arrangement would be required with the state governments?
Yeah, actually, the government is now seriously considering replicating the direct benefit transfer, which was so successful in LPG, to kerosene.
Yeah.
Kerosene comes with its own set of challenges, because unlike LPG customers, we don't have the data of the final kerosene consumers. So the government is now thinking in terms of evolving a process which they are talking to all the stakeholders. Primary stakeholders obviously are the oil companies and the respective state governments. There are some plans to sort of evolve this, take this pilot stage beyond. They had done something a couple of months back in Alwar in Rajasthan, but that was just a one-off thing. Now there are plans to increase the number of districts maybe from April 2016. The finer details are being worked out by the oil companies in consultation with the government, because as I said, the challenges here are completely different. And it is not about not only having the customer details, but also in terms of how the kerosene is delivered, because these are delivered to the through the public distribution system. Are some different approaches in the different states. So I would say that it's at a very early stage, but the government is very seriously looking at it. So hopefully we should be having some mechanism in place which can be very effective after overcoming these challenges.
Secondly, I think the government had cleared OMCs to open retail outlets for kerosene, selling them at market rates. Any movement on that, sir?
Nothing on the ground yet. See, these are in principle decisions. Now we'll have to just see how this will be translated on the ground. So some work is going on, but nothing on the ground yet.
Right. Great. Thanks for this, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Ahuja. We have a next question, a follow-on question from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for your time again, sir. Any thoughts on the 7th pay commission? Any rough increase in salary cost that we can expect? I know it's too early, but any workings?
Obviously, it's very early. What you have said is the 7th pay commission is for the government servants, nothing yet for the PSUs, so we'll have to just wait and see.
Okay. So just on the diesel sales volume, if I look at compared to Q1, Q2 and Q3, there seems to be a bump up in terms of our sales vis-a-vis the industry in Q2, and it is now normalized. Any specific reason why our volumes went up in Q2 and again come back? If I compare the market shares, we have gained, as you said, first quarter we had a problem, so we dropped half a percentage or so. Then we again gained, and again we are back to normal in Q3. Any, if you could just explain that.
No, I have, no. All that I can say is that, the first quarter was an issue, but since you are saying there is some variation between second and third, I would also need to just re-look at it. At least to us, it was appearing to be more or less in line with what was going on in the previous year. But let me just check. At this point in time, I don't have any specific answer.
Okay. On the private side, how fast are you seeing competition pick up? Is it what we originally thought it's going to be slow, or are you seeing an increase in pace of activity, or how would you measure that at this point?
By the private players, entry is definitely there. It's I can't say that it is not there. Even as we speak, maybe about 2.5-3% market share is there, but it is something which is much slower than what was anticipated. We going forward, we'll have to just see whether the pace goes up. But in terms of pace, the other aspect which will also be there is in terms of how fast the new gas stations, etc., come in, because that's something which will require a lead time. Maybe if they have not resumed all their outlets, maybe still something more to come in. Those are the easier ones to happen. But the real this one is to see how fast they are in terms of getting into commissioning new gas stations.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Kumar. We have a next question from the lineup, Amit Mishra from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions from my side. One is, what is the status on Numaligarh expansion? Because we are talking about 3 to 9 million ton expansion.
Yeah, Amit, as I said to one of the earlier questions, 3 to 9 million expansion, we need to also factor in the requirements of the infrastructure for bringing in crude and then taking out the large chunk of the production also. So we are talking about a project which is involving capital outlay covering not only refining units but also the infrastructure, pipelines, etc. So the capital outlay would obviously be a very significant number, and a project of this magnitude would require significant amount of government support. Now those are things which will have to be worked out. We'll have to talk to the government until that materializes. The final decision on the same will we'll have to wait. So at this point in time, they are looking at what are all the options, viability, etc., and what sort of support that will be required. And once we have some clarity in terms of the type and extent of support, then we should be announcing those plans. So till then, we'll have to just wait and see. Because this is quite unlike any other project. Here, the government support will be very critical.
And the other question I had, sir, was on the product pipeline. Now, private players are asking for open access to OMC's product pipelines. I heard that PNGRB is into discussion with the industry. So any status there? What's happening and what is the time frame, if anything, can come through?
See, at the moment, the pipelines which are there with the existing players are fully used. It is not that there is any... captive use itself is taking care of the 100% capacity that is available. It is not that the pipelines, there is idle capacity and therefore it can be made available. And secondly, if you look at it, some of the pipelines, it originates from inside the refinery. So even the thing will be how do you bring the products and pump it into the pipeline. So those are issues. Yes, PNGRB has been talking about it, but nothing concrete has yet happened.
Sure, thanks. That will be from my side.
Thank you, Mr. Mishra. We have a next question from the line of Sumit Rohra from Emerging Market Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So thank you once again. Sir, just one more thing. I wanted to understand on this pricing, because the matter of fact is now petrol, diesel have been deregulated now for over a year. So currently, we are revising prices, on a fortnightly basis. So is this going to change sometime in the near future? And sir, secondly, when, the 1st and the 15th of the month is there, so do the three oil companies, cumulatively decide on the price changes? Or, is there a fair share of the government over here, sir?
See, the oil companies are now given the freedom to revise the prices, and it is being done every fortnight. So it's now each individual oil company taking that decision. There is nothing like the government coming in saying, or the three oil companies sitting together, nothing of that sort. So every fortnight,
okay,
depending on how the prices have moved in the international market, how the rupee dollar exchange rate has moved, so it's a decision which is taken every fortnight.
Sure, sir. Okay, and sir, and just you know, my personal you know view, sir, you know, I feel that you know some amount of you know thought also should be given, because sir, you know, internationally, you know, margins are much higher. So you know, my thought is, you know, that, you know, that should be considered, sir. That's it from my side.
Definitely, we'll take your inputs into account.
Thank you very much. I wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rora. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we are taking the last question. We have the last question, follow-on question from the line of Vidyadhar Dinde from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just one last question on any update on the Bina expansion?
Yeah, that's what I said some time back. Debottlenecking, that 30% capacity expansion project, has got all its clearances, EC, environmental clearance, and all that has been done. The preliminary work relating to, you know, awarding of jobs, etc., that is all underway. The expenditure should start flowing in from the next financial year. So I would say that the work, etc., has started, and we should be seeing the capex happening shortly.
And so when is the expansion likely to get commissioned? Any rough idea at least?
Yeah, it is 16. It should be, it was supposed to be 30 months. So another 2.5 years we should be seeing the increase.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Varatharajan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Vikram, and thanks all the participants and the BPCL management for taking time out to attend this conference call and clarify things. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ILFS Broking Services Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thanks for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.